Well, you may like to use the notebooks and pencils in the seat pocket behind you, because, as always, an outline will go up on the screen here if you find it helpful, as I do, to take notes during sermons. We're coming to the end of the seven letters in the book of Revelation. That's chapters 2 and 3. Letters brought by the Spirit to seven churches in the first century AD, letters brought by the Holy Spirit to us today. And each of them asks us the same question. How are you doing as a Christian? Not how do others think that you're doing, because they may be quite mistaken about us. Not how do you wish you were doing, because there may be quite a gap between what we would like and what is the reality. Instead, how are you actually doing as a Christian? And this seventh letter to the church in Laodicea is in some ways the most pointed, and in other ways, the most wonderful. So whatever else we do tonight, let's make sure we don't duck its question. How are you doing now as a Christian? And let's make sure we don't miss the Holy Spirit's message to us. That's what it says in the last verse, verse 23. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So here's the first part of the message, which comes in verses 14 to 17. Be honest with yourself. Don't let's try to pretend, either with ourselves or with Jesus our Lord, but let's face up to the truth about how we're doing as Christians. And why should we be honest? Because Jesus is speaking to us, and he knows the truth. In fact, he is the truth. Look at how the letter begins in verses 14 and 15. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. I know your works. Verse 14 describes Jesus, the Jesus who is speaking to us in this letter. He's the Amen, a Hebrew word which means truth or consistency. What he will say to us is 100% reliable. He is, verse 14 goes on, the faithful and true witness. He knows what he's speaking about, and when he speaks to us, we can trust him. He is, verse 14 again, the origin of God's creation. Everything in the universe was created by him, and there is no fact, no aspect of anything, including, of course, our own lives, that is outside his knowledge. And this Jesus says, verse 15, I know your works. So if we can't possibly hide anything from him, and he is speaking to us, let's be honest with ourselves. And what does he say to the church then, and perhaps also to us? He says, we are lukewarm as Christians. Look with me at his words in verses 15 and 16. He says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. When I'm thirsty, I like cold water, and my wife, Catherine, likes hot water. In fact, she prefers hot water to coffee or tea. I know it's strange, but I did marry her. But the one thing that is distasteful to both of us is lukewarm water. In the summer, I often eat cold meats, pate or cold beef. And on Sundays, we did today, a piping hot roast. But almost no one likes a meal of lukewarm meat. And that's what Jesus says here, and says probably to more of us in this service than we imagine. You are lukewarm, he says. It's not that you're stone cold towards me, that you don't love me at all, but you're certainly not hot in your love for me, not really wholehearted, not all out for me. You're lukewarm. And in many ways, says Jesus, I wish you were one thing or the other. Because, says verse 16, Jesus can't stand lukewarm Christians. Look at verse 16. So says Jesus, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. It's very strong language. Just as you or I might take some food into our mouth and spit it out because we expected it to be hot, but it's lukewarm. It's horrible. So Jesus says, you may be a Christian, but if you are lukewarm towards me, if you're half-hearted, I'll disown you. I'll spit you out of my mouth. And don't forget, these are the words of Jesus, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, which means we must take them seriously and we must be honest with ourselves. The trouble is, we think we're okay. If somebody asks, how are you doing as a Christian? We say, I'm fine. And we think we're telling the truth. But look at verse 17. For you say, I am rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. We compare ourselves with people who aren't Christians, and we think we're spiritually rich. We have friends who, perhaps you have friends who go to a church where there's almost no Bible teaching, and we think we're well off. We know Christians who have very little understanding about prayer or worship, and we think we have all we need. How wrong you are, says Jesus. I know your work, he says in verse 15, and he uses exactly the same word in the middle of verse 17 when he says, you don't know. You don't realize. Because actually your love of me is not rich. It's wretched. Your experience of me is not enviable, it's pitiable. Pitiably thin. Your Christian life is not rich, it's poor. You're not spiritually perceptive as you like to think. You're spiritually blind. And you're like the emperor in his new clothes. People see you for what you are, or at least I, Jesus, do. You're shamefully, embarrassingly caught naked. These are the words of the faithful Jesus to us, or at least to many of us. And don't imagine that he says this to us in anger or with a cynical curl of his lips. Look at verse 19. He says, I reprove and discipline those whom I love. He tells us the truth about ourselves because he loves us. He loves us deeply. And he says, please, for once, be honest with yourself. And then he says in the second part of this letter, you can start again. Look with me at verse 18. Therefore I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. And the important words here are, buy from me. In other words, come to Jesus. He has everything we need. You want your experience of Jesus to be rich? Then come to him and he will give you spiritual gold that has been cleansed from all its impurities. Joy in Christ without the least regret to stain it. You want your shame to be taken away because you've been caught too often in the nakedness of your sin? Then come to Jesus. He will give us his own glorious white robes, his own righteousness. It's so good to know we're forgiven and clean. You want to be spiritually perceptive, instead of which you have a defect in your eyes. You see other people's bad points so quickly and you're so blind to your own, then come to him. He has for us a wonderful ointment for our eyes, which will make us see everything clearly, and especially see Jesus in all his glory. You say, I came to him long ago. Yes, says Jesus in this letter, but you need to and you can start again. Then look at what he says next in verse 19. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. We need to come to Jesus, these verses say, and repent of our half-heartedness. I'm only saying this, says Jesus, because I love you. That's why I'm reproving you, just as a father reproves a child that he cares passionately about. I love you, he says. And you for your part, we for our part, need to take this seriously. You need, says Jesus, to be earnest, literally to be zealous, to make your love for me and my Father the most important thing in the world for you, and to repent of how half-hearted, how complacent, how spiritually flabby you've become, with such a low expectation of me as you come to read the Bible or to pray or come to church. Repent, says Jesus. And you say, well, I did repent of my sin when I became a Christian a long time ago. Yes, says Jesus, but the truth is you need to and you can start over again. And then he says the most famous words of all. Look at verse 20. He says, behold, listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. He says to the church in Laodicea, he says to the Christians there, he's saying to many of us in all sense tonight, open the door to Jesus. Are you listening? Says Jesus. I'm standing outside the door of your life and I'm knocking. I know you invited me into your life many years ago, or for some of you several months ago. But the reality is your lukewarmness has pushed me out. You've hardly been aware of it, but to all intents and purposes, I'm not in your life. Certainly nowhere near the center of your life. I'm outside. But I love you. And I want to come back in. That's why I'm knocking. I want you to be wholehearted, to be hot in your love for me. I'm outside and I'm knocking. And all you need do is open the door. Hear my knocking and open the door, and I will come in to you. A few of us here tonight say, I've never done that. I've heard about asking Christ into my life, but I've never actually done it. And tonight, listen to Jesus knocking at the door of your life and open your life to him. Most of us say, I have opened the door of my life to Jesus. I did it quite some time ago. But to many of us, Jesus says, as he said to the church in Laodicea, the truth is your spiritual life has become so complacent. It's got to such a low ebb that you need to and you can start over again. Isn't that extraordinarily encouraging and gracious of Jesus? And what a difference it will make to us. It will mean we'll be enjoying him for the first time, or enjoying him after a long period of not really enjoying our relationship with Christ. Enjoying him now. Look at the whole of verse 20. Listen, he says, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. Eating with Jesus, having a meal with Jesus. I mentioned at the beginning of this service that I've just come back from spending time with four of our mission partners, Jess and Ali Wisdom, Joe Wakia, and Harrison Mungai. Some of the best times I've had with them over this last week is sitting around their family dinner table and eating and talking with them. That's what our life can be like with Jesus now, if we invite him back in, back at the center of our life, listening to him as he speaks to us, especially when we're reading the Bible at home or hearing it explained here in church, talking to him as we chat away to him in prayer, and just loving being with him, as perhaps we used to be in the past. That's what happens when we open the door and start again with him. That's what happens now. And in the future, he says, we'll be enthroned with him forever. Look at verse 21. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. I conquered sin, says Jesus, and when I had died, my Father invited me to share his throne with him. And if you truly open the door to me, and then in my strength increasingly overcome temptation and keep from sin yourself, then when you have died, Or rather, when I come again, I will invite you to share my throne with me. An almost unimaginable privilege, but it will be so because it's a promise from Jesus, the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Now, I believe this is a really important night for some of us here this evening. What Jesus said to the Church of Laodicea is true of many of us at All Saints and St. Richard's. The fact is that we've become lukewarm in our relationship with, in our love for Jesus. He knows it. You know it. Or perhaps tonight, as the Word of God has spoken to us, you've become aware of it. You've come to see that it's not true that you're rich. It's not true that you're prospering as a Christian. On the contrary, the truth is that you or I are wretched and pitiable and poor and blind and naked. So let's tonight, if that is the case, it won't be true, of course, of all of us, but if it is, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's not fool ourselves or pretend that really everything is fine, everything's going okay, if it's not. Let's not pretend we're hot if we're really lukewarm. Remembering that Jesus only says this to us, only makes us aware of this, only has spoken to us tonight through his Spirit, if he's done that, only because he loves us. He is reproving us, some of us here. He is disciplining us. This isn't pleasant to hear, but he does it, he says, because he loves us and because he wants us to move on from there. Isn't it great news that we don't need to continue being lukewarm, insipid, thinking we're doing well when we're not? Isn't it great news that we can start all over again? Well, before we do that, Jesus says, first we need to repent. Is that what you need to do tonight? To stop making excuses, to stop blaming other people. Oh, the house group isn't as good as it used to be. I'm not getting as much out of a church as I used to. The music isn't so good. It's easy, isn't it, to pass the buck, just as Eve did to Adam, and Adam did to Eve, and Eve did to the snake. Easy to blame somebody else. No, says Jesus, face up to it ourselves, yourself, and then repent. And say to Jesus tonight, I'm really, really sorry that I've allowed myself to become lukewarm, that my heart is only half yours. And then he's knocking, knocking, knocking. He wants to come in to your life. And isn't tonight, for some of us here, the night to open the door? Maybe, again, for one of us, two of us here, actually to do that for the very first time. What a wonderful night for you. If you've never done that before, you've often thought about it, you've never done it, what a wonderful night for you to open the door to Jesus tonight, for him to come in and be yours and you be his forever. But there are many, many more here tonight who've done that long ago. But still, it is as if Jesus is outside your life, and that's why he is knocking, knocking, knocking at the door of your life again. Many of us here need to start over again. Many need to open the door again. Now, every night on Sunday night at 7 for 7:30, we respond to the Bible. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have, first of all, a minute or two of silence to ask ourselves the question, how am I doing as a Christian? And to seek to be honest about that. Of course there are people here who don't need to ask Jesus to come in because he's right at the center of your life. Praise God for that. So a minute or two to look back over the passage again and seek to be honest. And then what's going to happen is this. We're going to have the opportunity of doing something quite bold and asking any, either for the first time or for a new time, who want to open that door and say to Jesus, please come in. I'm going to ask you to come and stand somewhere in the front here. If you want to do it a little bit quietly in a corner, you go right over there or right over here. But to come to stand in the front, it's a scary thing to do, but it's part of being honest with yourself and with Jesus. And then some of the staff members, lay pastors, if you'd be involved with this as well, are just going to come up to you, ask you very briefly in a sentence how you would like them to pray for you, whether you are opening the door to Jesus for the first time or in a new way, and they will pray with you simply, clearly, definitely, so that Jesus can come right into the center. And while that's happening, the music group are going to play a couple of songs, and please, others who don't come forward, just come and join in the singing as you are sitting down while others come to stand. If you just don't feel you can do that at first, but later on you feel, yes, I really should be up there, have the courage to come. So first, a minute or two of silence. And then I'll give the nod to the music group and Paul. They'll start playing and that'll be the opportunity to come forward for prayer if you want.